Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But very wise, so wise was he.
Hey everybody, this is Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network right now.
Hallelujah.
Waiting on a little Marvin Gaye from Ebony. She's in the studio right now, and I'm on the road. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give Ebony a call right now because I know she got everything lined up. I just got a phone with her.
I'm coming to you now with Marvin Gaye in the studio. I'm coming to you now.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem.
There we go.
I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see? Thank you.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, girl, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing on.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring with the harmony. Oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high. Loud as the Georgia.
Prosperity Partners.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep. If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
Pop.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Hello, this is Prentice L. Allison, founder and president of SPSI, Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated, a network of financial service professionals teaching people how to use life insurance and annuities to retain more of their income and pay the least tax on it. Our toll-free number is 877-902-9048. We are proud to have serviced more than 500 clients, national and international. from ages 0 to 99 for the past 30 years. My tip to you today is, if you are a business owner with at least one employee, including yourself, it would behoove you to get business life insurance. Why? Thank you for asking. 7 points I want to leave with you. Your premiums are tax deductible. Your policy bills cash tax deferred. Your cash reserve inside the policy is yours to use tax free. The policy will replace your income if death occurred prematurely. The company will pay the premiums if you become disabled. The policy will return all premiums to you when you retire. Last but not least, make sure your agent is well experienced in business life insurance. Stay tuned for more tips on how to use life insurance and annuities to help yourself today and protect your family and business tomorrow. This is Prentice L. Allison, president of SPSI. Toll-free number is 877-902-9048. I wish you well, and to God be the glory.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, president and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artist? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. We've got you covered with broadcast quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. CoolVoiceRadio.com or call 646-326-7800. Remember, nothing beats the right sound.
Hallelujah, it's done. I believe on this Son. I am saved.
The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor.
Historically, blacks were not free with any kind of communication from the government until June 19th.
Juneteenth is the day in which enslaved individuals in Texas learned that they were free.
Juneteenth is a day to pause and to reflect and to really assess where we are.
When the announcement was made, the slaves began right away to celebrate and being thankful to God for being free.
There was a time when we were not free to do what we wanted to do, couldn't go and come, families were destroyed and broken up.
I think there's a lot of confusion today amongst the younger generation about what Juneteenth is and who celebrates Juneteenth.
Every year on June 19th, African Americans in Texas gather to celebrate the Juneteenth holiday. The 19th of June is a special day, a day representing freedom from slavery. It all began in 1865 when Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger landed at Galveston, Texas. There, Granger stood outside Ashton Villa and announced that the Civil War had ended and that the enslaved were now free. This was 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation. Granger's general order would finally free the last 250,000 slaves whose bondage had been essentially unaffected by Lincoln's proclamation.
Galveston was a very important place. It was like New York City. Galveston was a metropolis.
Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, as important as it was then, and in some ways it's become even more important as a statement of the United States since that time, it really was symbolic in many ways, because when he issued it in January 1863, it did not go into effect. In other words, the South or the Confederates did not free their slaves at that time.
It had little effect in Texas. Because communication got there kind of slow. There were no federal troops in this part of the nation. So that was about to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation.
The issue here in Texas is that the Union Army was not in control, and slaves were not fools, and they were not suicidal. So to get up and walk off the plantation, indeed, if you were successful in...
I think we need to keep reminding people that that was a condition, horrible condition under which we existed for years and years and generations, and the actual end to it should be commemorated and celebrated. So it's always been a major part in my family and the community that I grew up in East Austin.
The first celebrations of Juneteenth were used as political rallies and to teach freed slaves about their voting rights. Within a short time, however, Juneteenth was marked by festivities throughout the state.
Keep your lamp trimmed and a-burning.
Very quickly, Juneteenth became a cultural celebration.
Juneteenth, I think, caught on in the later years as blacks started to socialize more together, start to form their own conventions, whether they were church conventions, as they started to go to school, and the day became more definitive because word was slow.
Many traditions continue today. Rodeos, parades, baseball games, and barbecue are just a few of the typical Juneteenth activities. Juneteenth almost always focused on education and self-improvement.
The freedmen embraced June 19th wholeheartedly. It was a day to remember what life was like before emancipation.
Most of the festivities were held in rural areas around rivers and creeks that could provide for activities such as fishing and horseback riding. Often, church grounds would be the site for such events. In time, however, black groups collected funds to purchase tracts of land for their celebrations, including Juneteenth. A common name for these sites was Emancipation Park.
There were different locations around Austin where they would celebrate. And it was like they would come in shifts because everybody didn't get off at the same time. So you see the maids were there, the cooks were there first, the laundresses at the celebration grounds. But the chauffeurs, they couldn't leave until they got off work in the evening.
There are accounts of Juneteenth activities being interrupted and halted by white landowners demanding that their laborers return to work. However, in many cases, employers allowed their workers to take the day off, and some even made donations of food and money. For decades, these annual celebrations flourished, growing continuously with each passing year.
It was the one annual holiday that African Americans owned. And when they came to celebrate, it was a way of looking at the past, but also trying to understand the present to move to the future. And so it went beyond celebrating by having baseball games and barbecues. There also were long speeches and luminaries from the black community present to remind one of the dark past of slavery and the promises of the present.
At one time, 30,000 people gathered at Comanche Crossing in Mejia, Texas for the Juneteenth event. In the towns and cities, parades were held and often a Juneteenth queen would be selected. In Austin, Juneteenth was first celebrated in 1867 under the direction of the Freedmen's Bureau. The Austin Parade featured the Goddess of Liberty.
In 1888, they rededicated the new Capitol. And at the top of the new Capitol, they placed a Goddess of Liberty. Prior to this year, the freedmen would have these huge parades, and they would have floats with a lot of little children. Usually there were children on it representing each state. But in the Juneteenth of 1889, they elected the Goddess of Liberty. And each year after that, up until the 1930s, when it went out of vogue and they started calling her the Juneteenth Queen, they had a Goddess of Liberty.
Jaybird sitting in the top of the tree, tra la 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 lee.
When Juneteenth was celebrated back when we were children, Dad would dig a hole in the ground out in the yard and put wire over that hole that he would dig, and put the wood and all that down in the hole, and he'd barbecue. Well, most neighbors did that because they didn't have the barbecue pits. And you could smell it all over the community.
Big days of barbecues and all kinds of food, good cakes. I can remember the ladies from our church. It was a big thing, all the different potato salads. I've never had so many different potato salads except on Juneteenth. But, yes, I was fortunate enough to celebrate, I can remember slightly, on a site in Austin that's called Old Emancipation Park. The early celebrations always had the participation of the governor of Texas and the members of the legislature. The governor would allow the organizers of Juneteenth celebrations to shoot the cannons on the Capitol grounds. And they started firing the cannons Juneteenth morning at 4 o'clock to wake up the celebrants, to alert them that it's time to get out of the bed.
They were proud of the fact that they were free, and they were proud to teach their children about it as best that they could.
I leave it 1861 when us come to Texas. Miles were pretty good. Treat us just about like you would a good mule. Us had the hoodoo wisdom to keep Miles from being mean. Us get the stick and match so many notches on it and slip up to Master front steps without him seeing us and put this stick right up under his doorsteps. Every night, we'll go back to the stick and drive it down a notch. By the time the last notch in the ground, it make Master good to us. That called hoodoos. When I was set free, my Master called for me and told me I was going to be free on the 19th of June. He said I could stay too, and he would give me $5 per month if I stay and help him with the crops. Some paid us and some didn't. I made a musician after I was freed. I made my first fiddle out of a gourd. If I made a musician before I was freed, they could not have bought me for any price. That's right, before June 19th.
Unfortunately, with changing social conditions, the popularity of Juneteenth began to decline. The Great Depression of the 1930s forced many people off the farms and into the cities to find work. In these urban environments, employers were less eager to give workers the time off to celebrate the date. Thus, unless June 19th fell on a weekend, there were very few participants available. The people in Luling, Texas, celebrated Juneteenth at a big annual picnic.
They had what they called the SP picnic. The Southern Pacific Railroad would stage a picnic and have these large barbecues, and they play baseball, and people would really celebrate with dances and gatherings, so it was a big deal.
The celebration of June 19th spread from Texas to the neighboring states of Louisiana and Arkansas. Celebrations were also held in Alabama, Florida, and California as African-American Texans migrated there.
It's that collective spirit and the fact that African-Americans migrating from Texas into California, into New Jersey, they carry with them their traditions, they carry with them their practices, and so it's a part of historic memory.
But as black people migrated west and north, to California, to Michigan, to Indiana, and places like that, Juneteenth becomes something that goes with them.
California has a big one because there's a large migration of Texans who went from here to California to live, and so they have big celebrations.
In 1978, Texas State Representative Al Edwards of Houston envisioned that blacks could have a formal celebration of emancipation from slavery. During his first year as a legislator, he authored the most meaningful piece of legislation for the black community that had ever existed in the history of Texas or any other state. He wrote and lobbied to get passed into law the bill making June 19th a legal state holiday. It would be the first official black state holiday in the U.S.
I'd gone over to the Senate and I talked to the lieutenant governor at that time, who was Governor Bill Harvey, and he said he was all right with it. I'd gone to the governor, who at that time was Governor Bill Clemens. His position was, I'm not going to help you get your bill passed, but I'm not going to fight it. If you get it passed, then I'll sign it.
At a memorable and historical ceremony on the grounds of the Texas State Capitol in Austin, the bill was signed into law on June 13, 1979. Representative Edwards has since actively sought to spread the observance of Juneteenth all across America.
Other states are actually trying to get legislation that would create a holiday, just as we did in Texas, to make it a legal holiday. Buffalo, New York has the second largest Juneteenth celebration in the United States. But that June 19th has nothing to do with New York. They want to use that name just in the general sense of the meaning of freedom.
Well, I don't know for sure just when I was birthed. They didn't keep no record then like they do now. I think Master Davis keeps some kind of record on us. He been dead a long time. Time for freedom in Louisiana. They refugees us to Texas in the wagons. We travel all day and all night and had to sleep on the ground. It didn't take us long to get to Calvert out there in the bottom of Texas. And they put us on a Barden plantation. We was out there digging potatoes in the fields, and the Yankees pull up in two big wagons. And they tells us to come off the fields and freeze us. There wasn't no celebration about it. And Master say us can stay there till us decide what to do. Well, then something funny happened there. The slaves all drink out of that well. They drink in the morning and have awful cramps by dinner time. And in the evening, they's dead. Dies like flies. So fast they couldn't even make coffins for them. They just sew them up in sacks and bury them that way. Well, some of the slaves say they think Master put some poison in that well. Well, I don't know what happened, but it sure look funny. Freed once before, really free, June 19th.
Oh, swing, 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 oh, swing, little Coralie.
Throughout the 1990s, Juneteenth continued to enjoy a growing and healthy interest from communities and organizations throughout the country. The Smithsonian Institution, the Henry Ford Museum, and others have begun sponsoring Juneteenth-centered activities.
I think it's actually growing in terms of a celebration to look more fundamentally at the African-American experience and perhaps uncover aspects of it that we have not fully understood.
It's just good for whites and blacks and browns to understand each other. Then they find out, oh, they're not as bad as I thought they were, if that's what they were thinking.
Even the northern cities of Milwaukee and Minneapolis now host two of the largest Juneteenth celebrations in the nation. From as far away as Japan, the legacy of Juneteenth is celebrated.
First of all, I celebrate the day starting at Ashtonville in Galveston, Texas, and that's where I've been since 1979. I started off giving thanks to God at the same place where Garden Granger made the announcement that we were set free.
This year, for Juneteenth, we're going to go out to the St. John Colony Celebration in Caldwell County, which is a long-standing celebration. It's very large, and there's free barbecue, there's baseball games, and a lot of good food.
So it's a day off for a lot of people. So there are parades, there are picnics, and then there are programs where people can stop and talk about it and enter into a dialogue.
It's a religious day. It's a day that in the morning when I get up, I thank God, just like anybody else would, that I'm free.
I would say that there's an increased appreciation for the celebration, and so if anything, it's gotten larger.
Hallelujah, this sun, I believe on this sun.
The Juneteenth experience offers important lessons for all Americans.
The whole black struggle to gain equality is important, not only for blacks to know, but for all peoples to know. So for me, it ends in a hopefulness that society has made progress.
I think it's important that we remember it. I think it's important because it's very much a part of our culture.
Juneteenth, there's always going to be the issue of social justice, social inequality, issue of civil rights. Those are reoccurring themes throughout history. And Juneteenth represents the struggle to have all those things.
Oh, keep your lamp trimmed and burning.
By being sensitive to the conditions and experiences of others, we can then make significant and lasting improvements in our society.
I would like for them to historically know the significance of it. If they don't want to celebrate, they don't have to celebrate. You know, but I'd like for you to know the importance of it.
That's why I say it's so important that families teach their children about the history of Juneteenth. If you can't think of anything else and you hear the word Juneteenth, it should immediately go to your conscious mind that that's the day that the slaves were set free in Texas in 1865, June 19th.
In cities all across the U.S., people of all races and religions come together to truthfully recognize a period in American history that continues to influence our society today. Whether it is called Juneteenth or the 19th of June, it is a significant day for all of us to celebrate our precious freedom.
Should America celebrate Juneteenth Day? American school children have been taught that President Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves on January 1, 1863. However, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation only declared free slaves in the rebel states. There were 15 slaveholding states in January 1863. The proclamation applied to the 10 states that were in rebellion. The 10 states that were fighting a bloody war against the Lincoln-led government in Washington. Therefore, Lincoln's proclamation had to be enforced by the military. Slaves in the rebel states were freed when federal authority was reestablished in those rebellious states by military force. And African Americans played a major role in the military victory that resulted in their own liberation. African Americans who celebrate Juneteenth Day implicitly embrace the idea that the slaves were freed on January 1, 1863, without any effort of their own. Why do these celebrants accept as truth an inaccurate description of their own ancestors as inert recipients of freedom? Most of them value the importance of knowing their history. Would they continue to celebrate Juneteenth if they knew their history? And why don't they know their history? In a 1935 essay entitled The Propaganda of History, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote that influential European American scholars falsified the history of the Civil War in order to suppress the fact that the United States government, the Union, quote, had to call in the black men to save the Union, abolish slavery, and establish democracy, close quote. The success of the propaganda campaign that Du Bois identified resonates today in the attempts to make Juneteenth Day, June 19th, a national holiday. Over 30 states have made June 19th a state holiday, representing a major victory for the historians, or rather the propagandists, who deliberately falsified Civil War history to make African Americans appear to be inert recipients of freedom who did nothing to free themselves. The National Juneteenth Observance Foundation, NJOF, under the leadership of Ronald V. Myers, aggressively seeks to make June 19th a national holiday. Announcing that Nevada had become the 39th state to establish June 19th as a state holiday, NJOF explained the significance of Juneteenth. In this news release dated May 11th, 2011, the explanation reads, Juneteenth recognizes the day, June 19, 1865, when Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, to read General Order No. 3, announcing all slaves are free through the issuing of the Emancipation Proclamation by President Abraham Lincoln. It took over 2.5 years for the news to reach Southwest Texas, the last geographic area in America where slavery was practiced, creating the oldest African-American freedom celebration and America's second Independence Day. Let us closely examine the veracity of this statement and show how it lacks historical accuracy, and that its lack of historical accuracy aligns almost perfectly with the propaganda, or simply the lies, of those who have sought to suppress the history of how Americans of African descent freed themselves while saving the Union. NJOF states, it took over 2.5 years for the news of President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation to reach Southwest Texas. Clearly implied is that the enslaved in Southwest Texas were doing nothing to free themselves between January 1863 and June 1865. And clearly advanced is the description of the Negroes in Texas as woefully ignorant of events related to the bloody national debate. NJOF's statement is perfectly aligned with the deliberate lie of W.E. Woodward when he wrote, quote, the American Negroes are the only people in the history of the world, so far as I know, that ever became free without any effort of their own, close quote. To state that slaves in Texas did not get the news that they were freed until June 19, 1865, when Granger announced all slaves are free, is to assert that slaves in Texas and in all the states where the Emancipation Proclamation applied were freed without any effort of their own. Also, NJOF purports that Southwest Texas was the last geographic area in America where slavery was practiced, and that slavery came to an end there when General Granger read his order in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865. Galveston, however, is not in Southwest Texas. it is in Southeast Texas. The Union Army, under General Nathaniel P. Banks, captured Brownsville, Texas, which is in Southwest Texas, in November 1863. Five African descent regiments took part in this Union victory that resulted in the Union Army occupying the southwestern tip of Texas for the duration of the war. These African American regiments became a part of the Union's occupation force in Southwest Texas from 1863 to 1865 and the end of the war. Another notable error in the NJOF press release is the claim that Southwest Texas was the last geographic area in America where slavery was practiced. Kentucky, Delaware, 12 parishes in Louisiana, and 7 counties in Virginia that were exempt from the Emancipation Proclamation were, in fact, the last geographic areas in America where slavery was practiced. In these geographic areas, slavery did not come to an end officially until December 1865, when the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified. NJOF also claims that Juneteenth is the oldest African-American freedom celebration. However, based on events during the Civil War, Emancipation Day in the District of Columbia, April 16, 1862, was the first African-American freedom celebration. Therefore, the oldest such celebration related to the Civil War. Without an appreciation of the facts related to emancipation, Ronald Myers and his foundation continues to lobby in hopes of establishing Juneteenth Day as a national holiday. The foundation's premise for Juneteenth is clearly false. The official explanation of the historical significance of the day is fictitious. Therefore, Myers and his foundation are attempting to legitimize false history. Unwittingly, this African American organization is suppressing the empowering story of how Americans of African descent freed themselves while saving the Union. This African American foundation enthusiastically makes it appear that African Americans are the only people in the history of the world that ever became free without any effort of their own. Myers and his foundation perpetuate the false assertions of Woodward and others who have sought to conceal the accurate story. Woodward was clearly a propagandist who lacked integrity. And Ronald Myers, as president of the NJOF, is unwittingly a Woodward disciple. The truth is that African Americans played a critical role in their own liberation, and this story needs to be told and celebrated. African American soldiers were instrumental in the Union Army gaining a stronghold in Southwest Texas in 1863. In capturing Charleston, South Carolina, the cradle of secession, on February 18, 1865. In capturing Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy, on April 3, 1865, and in driving the Confederate governor of Texas and his army out of Texas into Mexico on June 15, 1865, 4 days before Granger arrived in Galveston. Without knowledge of such historical facts, thousands of conscious African Americans celebrate Juneteenth Day. Knowledge of the successful efforts of victorious African-American freedom fighters in the Civil War compels us to reject the history presented by Woodward and his unwitting disciples. Conscious men such as Myers are victims of a very successful propaganda campaign and are apparently unaware of the facts. Section 2 of the Nevada legislation calls on educators to advance the false statement that the last slaves in the United States were emancipated on June 19, 1865. Consequently, a lie has become law in Nevada. How has this happened in 39 states when the accurate history is easily accessible? It has happened because the propaganda campaign identified by Du Bois was successful in miseducating many conscious African Americans. And these African Americans have successfully institutionalized a lie that suppresses the accomplishments of their own ancestors. Du Bois wrote in his 1935 essay, The Propaganda of History, quote, "One has but to read the debates in Congress and state papers from Abraham Lincoln down to know that the decisive action which ended the Civil War was the emancipation and arming of the black slave. That, as Lincoln said, without the military help of the black freedmen, the war against the South could not have been won. The freemen, far from being the inert recipients of freedom at the hands of philanthropists, furnished 200,000 soldiers in the Civil War who took part in nearly 200 battles and skirmishes, and in addition, perhaps, 300,000 others as effective laborers and helpers. The victims, the miseducated, must be made aware of the truth. And after being exposed to the truth, they should cease and desist from advancing Woodward's lie by celebrating Juneteenth as the day when the last slaves were set free by someone in Washington. Certainly, informed and knowledgeable people should not celebrate the suppression of their own history. Juneteenth Day is a de facto celebration of such suppression. Americans, especially Americans of African descent, should not celebrate when the enslaved were freed by someone else, because that's not the accurate story. They should celebrate when the enslaved freed themselves by saving the Union. Such freedmen were heroes, not spectators, and their story is currently being suppressed by the advocates of the Juneteenth national holiday. The Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves. It made it legal for this disenfranchised, enslaved population to free themselves while maintaining the supremacy of the Constitution and preserving the Union. They became the heroes of the Republic. It is as Lincoln said, without the military help of the black freedmen, the war against the South could not have been won. That's worth celebrating. That's worth telling. The story of how Americans of African descent helped save the Union and freed themselves. Let's celebrate the truth, a glorious history, a story of a glorious march to liberty. Thank you.
Verse 10 explains the genealogy of Shem. Shem was a black man in Africa. If you repeat this fact, they can't laugh at you.
Genesis
14, verse 13.
Yo, Chris, what you doing out of school?
Yo, man, they just suspended me, McBoo.
Word, they suspended the teacher?
Yeah, man, I'm getting so sick of this, man. They teaching us about nothing, man. You know what the bottom line is for black people out here? It's quite simple. You must learn.
You must learn.
Just like I told you.
misery. Deal with straight up fact, no mystery. Teach the student what needs to be taught. Cause black and white kids both take shorts. When one doesn't know about the other one's culture, ignorance swoops down like a vulture. Cause you don't know that you ain't just a janitor. No one told you about Benjamin Banneker, a brilliant black man that invented the almanac. Can't you see what KRS is coming at? With Eli Whitney, Haile Selassie, Granville Woods made the walkie-talkie. Louis Latimer improved on Edison. Charles Drew did a lot for medicine. Garrett Morgan made the traffic lights. Harriet Tubman freed the slaves at night. Madam C.J. Walker made the straightening comb. But you won't know this if you weren't shown. The point I'm getting at, it might be harsh, is we're just walking around brainwashed. See what I'm saying? It's not to diss a man. We need the 89 school system. One that caters to a black return, because you must learn.
Just like I told you, you must learn. Yeah, what's up? That's a Juneteenth celebration for y'all. You need to be up on holidays that are important to you or us. When I say me, us, I'm talking about African Americans out there, to my Caucasian listeners. You know, it's good to celebrate the 4th of July when America got the independence, but the little-known fact about June 19th were the last remnants of slavery was, quote-unquote, eradicated from America. That the fact that blacks fought for themselves to free themselves. I mean, I hope you enjoyed that little programming that we had on this Juneteenth celebration, because we free. But are we free? They say there's more people on probation, incarcerated, than they are, than it was in slavery at that time. More blacks incarcerated or in jail or on probation than they were in slavery time. So are we really free? Are we really free when they promise us 40 acres of the mule and didn't give it to us? But the Senate is going to sign an immigration bill which is going to allow any immigrant to get free state tuition, you know, get state tuition to any university in America, but we can't get our 40 acres and a mule. So here's the funny part before I bring my guest. Here's the funny part. Do you all see how heavy the Democrats are pushing, stomping, throwing this immigration bill up in your face for it's the right thing to do? But do you remember it was the Democratic Party that said, hell no to 40 acres and a mule? No way. Y'all remember that? Yeah. I mean, let's be real. When we look at things back in the day, you got one party that you love now is really pushing it really hard for Hispanics. But when Lincoln said, let me do it for the African Americans, the Democrats said, no way. And we've been fighting for those crumbs ever since then. Ain't that about something, y'all? Ain't that about something? Ain't that about something? But I hope y'all enjoyed it. Today was the last day for schools here in Chicago. But the situation is, it really is the last day for some students. With all these school closings, consolidations, underutilized schools, they say. Unutilized schools. So let's close them down and save some money. Well, how about this, ROM, Board of Education, and all y'all like that? What if all of a sudden you woke up the next day and then the legislator said, let's enact vouchers? How would you feel then, public school system? Would you say your buildings are being utilized then because you're mad because they're taking your students away? I mean, let's be real. One day here in Illinois, blacks will educate themselves without the stigma of having the man educate our children, without us screaming that we're not getting educated. There is a voucher system that we can enact so we can have our own schools. But the Democrats tell the blacks that you shouldn't go that route. Vouchers are wrong. You should have your own schools. So roll with us so we can close your schools down. It just don't make no sense when you look at it for real, real. For real, real. What's happening? Matter of fact, let's bring Chan in now. Help me out here. Let's bring Chan in now. What's going on, Chan? What's going on, Detroit, Chan?
Hi, how you
Hello?
Doing? I'm teaching.
How you doing?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry about your passing of your mother. You know, it's been a lot of death running around everybody lately.
Thank you.
You know, we had two marauders that passed away in June, and then your mother. But what's going on down there in Detroit?
Well, school ended last week. A lot of teachers are worrying about their jobs because of the evaluation system that took place this school year. And with summer school starting this week, we started this week with a lot of students coming in from Michigan State University in the school system who are considered internship students. And it used to be a time where teachers had to go through a student teaching process, but the particular intern who was assigned to me this week told me that they're pretty much guaranteed a job in Detroit or Chicago. Now, I remember when I was going to school for teaching, there was no internship. It was a student teaching process. So my understanding is that student teaching is going to be waived, and because of the emergency manager situation, they will pretty much be guaranteed a job in their choices of state, Detroit or Chicago, you know, the city, Detroit or Chicago. So
they closed the schools down here in Chicago, and they're laying off teachers here in Chicago. So if you're laying off teachers, how are you going to hire some old teachers? When you're laying off teachers, you know?
Exactly.
Are you going to cut their salaries down to $20,000 when they say teachers don't make that much money anyway, so what, they're going to cut the salaries down to save money? I mean, is that what they're trying to do, Chan? I don't know. I'm just talking, lady. I don't know.
I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but when you start talking about more, you know, the money more than you do educating the kids, then that's a problem for me.
That
you know,
is a
we're
problem.
Stepping away from what the job is genuinely about. And they certainly make the job harder because it's not about the kids anymore. And as any good educator knows that the child is first. And over the years, I could see things shrinking as far as supplies and different things that the kids need. Things shrink over the years, and it depends on which particular school system the kids are in as far as materials are concerned. So, you know, they've taken away our security, they've taken away our custodian, and now the school district is fighting with the custodial companies, and it's all about money. It's all about money.
All about
sometimes when I hear the increases in academics, I really question whether or not the academics are actually increasing. Are they increasing? Or are we just putting on a public show to make it look like things are becoming better because of what they say they're doing with the money? I don't know.
Right. It's difficult to say. You don't know. You don't know what they're doing with the money. You know, right now, you hear that Detroit's about to start selling off their museum pieces now because they broke them with money like that. They sell out the artifacts in the museum. Is it that bad?
Well, that's what they were talking about.
I also heard that people in Southfield are getting upset because people in Detroit are moving into Southfield and they realize they feel like Black Fight of Detroit is affecting Southfield. And that's what they talk about that. That was a big story today in the newspapers. You know, it is because let me tell you something, Chad. As live as Chicago is, and how big we are, they are comparing Chicago to Detroit. They are saying our economic financial system is almost on par with Detroit. You see,
it would be if you got the same people moving from state to state doing the same thing.
Right,
if that's the goal.
That's the goal. It's funny, you know. Let me tell you about these damn Clintons, boy. Them Clintons sure hate black folks, man. You know what I'm saying? Because wherever they go, they eradicate schools. Because that's this Rahm Emanuel's plan. Bunch of girl, three B's, Barbara Bird Bennett in here. A black woman, because they feel that a black woman would be much more easier on black kids than a black man. They brought a black woman here to cut all the schools out. And now, let me give you an example, Chan. There's some kids today on the news about 12 o'clock this afternoon. Okay, school got closed down. Overton. Now, Overton's a good school. It sits underutilized. Now, Overton has a gym, lunchroom, lockers, upstairs, downstairs. You know, the gym, the auditorium and gym room are separate. You know, it's very rare for a grammar school. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to go to a place where there's no lockers. You know, two floors. They got three. How many floors? Overton got three floors. A three-floor school. They're going to two floors. Lunchroom and library the same thing. Auditorium and the gym is the same way. And today, the kids are frightened because the other kids, so they're going to beat your ass when you get down here. This GD's down here. Fuck your BD's down there. We got a lot of kids that are scared to even go to school the next day. You know? And that and school has, and the new school system has not even started yet. You know? And it's sad. It's sad when you look at education and you plan education like a game. You plan it like a game. You got black people thinking that your interests are in educating the children. Then you cut the funds out. Then you cut all the programs out. And then when you get a bad product, you blame the teachers. And then now you have to blame the teachers. Then you want to shut the schools down. And in the end, the child is not going to get educated. But they turn around and about to educate a million Hispanics to make them legal citizens, and they're about to get everything that here's the sad part. This, the immigration bill is about to provide the Hispanics with everything the Africans supposed to have gotten after the Civil War during the Reparation spot. And now here we are in 2014, Chan, or 2013, 2014, and our same issues are education, equality, and employment, just like it was when we got out of slavery. Ain't nothing changed.
Right.
We don't think nothing changed. You know, if education is quote unquote such a gold mine, then children will be more educated. But the funny part, Chan, let's tell the truth. I'ma tell the truth. People don't realize that motherfuckers realize America is gone. And there ain't no big jobs coming. So we really don't need an educated workforce no more. They really grooming us for certain jobs in the service industry. Matter of fact, now, the only people hiring now are the service industry, and they flooded with who? You know what I'm saying? They flooded with SAs in the shadows. You know, not the black people that can't grab us in the shadows, that get out there with the prison or jail, that can't get no employment because they're in the shadows, but illegal aliens that come out and get a job because they're too busy living in the shadows and they can't afford to feed their families, but let a black man go to jail, get a record. He's in the shadows now because he can't afford to feed his family or get on point or get anything because he didn't serve his time. But this is where we at right now, Chan. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them know this is where we at. You know? But Ebony got me on here for you to go and let our people know what's really going on with Detroit. Don't let me get on my high horse. You know what I'm saying? Let's let my listeners know about. Matter of fact, I had you on earlier, and we were in the same situation. We even had Kofi on about the financial matter. This is lasting on. Has anything changed? I mean, has anything changed? Have the citizens in Detroit got up to fight back?
I stopped by one of the Baptist churches today that usually holds the whole private meetings about the different political things going on, and I found out today that the emergency manager is probably going to be gone at the end of this month, and he still has his people in place running, you know, the financial aspect of the school district. We don't know anything that's going to happen. Nothing is being said. No memos have come out. Nothing has been said in any union meetings or anything about the current situation. So everything is what it was the last time we talked. You know, and today it seems that the biggest concern was with the, all the interns that are in the building, are we training the people for this internship that will be replacing us in the upcoming school year? And it's my understanding that this is what's actually taking place in the EAA schools, is that they hire some of the intern students from Michigan State and Eastern Michigan and Oakland University to actually go into the school, the different school systems, and they come in as students and they're teaching. They start with their salary. And the bottom line is 6 weeks of summer school with half of a class is not going to prove anything. It's not going to teach them too much, and it's certainly not going to teach them how to deal with children in the urban area. You know, and that's my biggest concern. And what you said earlier, are they going to be lacking the education because you have people in there who can't handle the job? You know, we need to paint a true picture for what it is. You know, you need to come into and to hear that it was an urban cohort that they're a part of. It's called the urban cohort.
Urban cohort.
These teachers, these, right.
They're looking it up right now.
I don't know.
The urban core.
Cohort, yes.
So
I don't know what.
I don't know what to think about that.
It's just crazy. We're allowing people to come into the district and nobody has really stood up and said anything about anything. It's like there's no fight. It's not a fight anymore. It's not like it was when our parents fought for us to go to school and to be in different things. It's just not there anymore. I don't even know what to say, Jim.
Do you feel that it's over? I mean, the people aren't going to take it. I mean, you know, people have come to the agreement that we can't fight it, so let's just give in. You think that's
happening? Yeah, I mean, everybody's afraid for their job, and especially the older people. A lot of people that are close to retirement right now, you know, the biggest concern that they had today was, well, are we training people that's going to be replacing us? So there's a lot of resistance to even wanting to help the students who are going to school to become teachers. They had to have been offered something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Something had to be offered. You know, people just don't show up in cities like Detroit with all the things that have been on the news, with everything that's going wrong right now in Chicago. People don't just say, well, let me become a teacher. They're in a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? They had to be offered something.
It's a corporation that teaches people to become teachers.
Urban Teaching Corps.
Matter of fact, they're hiring in Chicago. They're hiring right now. They're hiring now in Chicago, Urban Teaching Corps. You have to be 45, 46, age cut off.
They don't want the old teachers, the young cats, the age cut off on that zone.
Yep. And they said they're organizations that trains teachers to be teachers.
Right.
That's what they are. And so,
right.
Is this a new operator? How long would they be in their job then? I mean, if everybody is saying that you can't educate, with the same people, I mean, if the scores don't improve and the condition stays the same, what would the outcome be? Would they say it was a failed project or a failed experiment, or it's just...
You know, I actually have a friend that's working in the EAA school right now, and she said that some of the students that were in the CORE program were hired in the EAA school, and, you know, they had an issue here where the students didn't have to take the MEET test if they were in the EAA school. So she said at the very last minute something happened with the state where they made those students take their test. So when they made the students take the test, it kind of set the EAA school up to fail a little bit. So I don't know if this is all a bunch of, it just seems like a bunch of political mumbo jumbo to me. It's like, what about the whole child? We're forgetting about the big picture, and that's one of the things that me and Ebony were talking about earlier. It's like, you're talking about money. It's not about educating kids anymore.
Right.
Everybody's worried about even being able to have the job. And I'm at the point where if I was in a financial position where I could just say, you know what, let me just go ahead and educate my children. I know what I need to give them. You know, it's a lot of homeschooling taking place right now. You know, the school system is just not what it used to be. That whole phrase, it takes a whole village, it's like we're picking away at the village. We're picking at the village and we're giving who we want to give to. And to give you a perfect example, I've been working on the east side of Detroit for years. And just recently in January, I transferred over to Southwest Detroit. Now, on the east side, I didn't have hardly anything to teach with. Whatever I had, I bought on my own. I go to Southwest Detroit, and it looks like the entire Lakeshore store is inside of the school. Now, that's granted, it's a Hispanic environment. They have everything. Everything that you need, everything that you could possibly think of is over there. So my question is, how come it can't be that way across the board? You know, we're still in the same public school system. We're still suffering the same deficit.
In Chicago, they're building their own schools in Chicago. They build their own schools. And they're getting money to build their own schools because the public schools is failing, so they're getting money and becoming charters and educating their own selves. Again, we're not doing what they're doing, and they're getting more respect because black folks don't care no more, Jan. We have to get Obama. We have to get Obama, and that's it. We reached the mountaintop. They're done. They're done. And that's why I said fuck the Democrats, because they're done. Stupid. I mean, black folks are so stupid. They can't see. It's like, it's funny. Unless you got a pointy nose, it's hard to see your nose right in front of your face. It's hard to see your nose in front of your face, but you know it's there. You know, it's hard to get a good look at that bitch all crossing your eyes. And it seems like black folks are satisfied in the lack of condition that we're in right now. The lack of condition that we're in.
I talked to a lady in a real high position with DPS today, and she told me, I'm retiring. I'm done in a week. And she told me, she said, you know, how much can you take? She said, and I'm in a position where I'm supposed to be able to make decisions. But then that's even been taken away from me with the emergency manager in place. Even though it's violating all of the laws and everything that the judge has put in place or the judge said we can and cannot do, she said she doesn't have a right to do anything. She said she's had enough. So she's going to retire. She's going to the Social Security office next week.
Right.
And, you know, and when you say look at the big picture, I mean, is there a big picture?
That is a big picture. You know, that is a big picture. I'm just saying, why don't people care? You know what I'm saying? Why don't people care?
And it makes me angry. Why are you afraid? That's my question. Why are you afraid to stand up and speak for yourself? Stand up for yourself. You know, I know the people that I'm working under were raised within the same structure, if not stronger, because it seems like the structure is breaking down by generation. So the people that are a little older than me, I know for a fact that the structure had to have been there. So how could you be comfortable as an individual turning to a bully and intimidating people to the point where they're afraid to even speak up for themselves or stand up for themselves? It's not even, it becomes a situation where, you know what, it's not even about the job anymore. It's about respect. Don't cross that line. You have to be able to stand up for yourself. And it's affecting people in the job so much that people are trying to find any and every way that they can to just get out of it. Nobody wants to fight anymore. And it's just sad.
Detroit is dead then. They won. You see, it's funny. Now I hate no politics, but listen, I'm gonna bring Milwaukee in here, Wisconsin for a second. Dude, Scott Walker came in, cut, did all that shit. Everybody saying I hate the unions, but hey, a lot of schools they are in better conditions than Illinois and Michigan are in right now. And now Michigan just got them a Republican ass governor. I don't know what he's on. I've been trying to reach out to my people to see if I get a feel for what his plans is, but my understanding is that, you know, about the guy, I don't know him face value, but my understanding is that he is concerned about the motor, but It's so messed up, ain't nothing he can do. There's nothing. It's like Chicago here. You can love Rom or you can hate Rom, but actuality, there ain't shit Rom can do. The previous administration, Mayor Daley, done sold our parking meters, done sold our garages, done sold every way the city can make money. So now, I look at Chicago, and then we got that way. Actually, we have to ask for shit to make money. I live in Chicago now and saying that we can't make money. Here we this big ass city, third largest in America, third largest in America, you know, population wise, industrialized, all type of, and we as a city are broke. You know,
right.
We're broke.
How about in Detroit? Now they're talking about the state is going to lease Belle Isle, our park in Detroit.
How
is Belle Isle, the park where you cross the, you know, downtown Detroit?
Yeah, I heard that.
And then, you know, another thing, Father's Day, I went down to the riverfront with my brother. We were fishing down there at the riverfront. And they had these people come down on bikes in these little uniforms, not police officers, but conservatories, they call themselves. And they're telling us the riverfront is closing at 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking, all my life as a child, I've been able to come down here to the water with my family anytime I wanted to. And now you're telling me that I have to leave by 10 o'clock. And it's a public place. And I don't. And if it was sold, how come it wasn't on a ballot anywhere? And when did it happen? What money did you use to privatize it that way?
Well, that's funny because privatization is the key. Let me give you something. If you are a mother on Link this summer, you cannot do anything with your children if you have a vehicle. Gas is $5. So let's say you put, mm-hmm. let's say you got five kids, you probably get to say what, $400 on that, you know, cash. Your kids want to do something for the summer. Let's say one day you want to do some one day with your kids. Let's say you got $20 in the tank. Bam. Now you got to go find a parking space downtown, and you got to pay to park.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $5 an hour, $6 or $7 an hour, maybe $8, $10 where you go to park an hour. You can't go to the parks. Why? You got to pay to park in the parks. You can't go to the beach. Why? You got to pay to park at the beach. You can't go nowhere. You can't even get on a bus. You cannot as a...
In a minute, they're going to have meters in a shopping mall.
Listen. Where? Hold on, I got to turn the phone up. Bring it down. Yeah,
when you were saying a meter in the mall, they were talking about putting a toll in the mall. So you got
Wow.
So, and they're trying to, we're selling ad space, like anything that they can advertise on, city digital, and they're trying to use digital. So I don't know what they're doing with the money. But I do know that I get tickets, and I pay tickets, and I had a boot, and I had to come up with $1,000. That's what snagged me from making any decision. I couldn't make any moves. I had to come up with $1,000 to pay to get a boot off my car. And then the schools, I mean, I just don't know. If you look at your tax bill and see everything is being taxed. Everything.
And then, Jimmy mentioned earlier about Southfield here in Detroit. It's not just Southfield, it's Warren. A lot of students from Detroit went over to Warren. And then the problem that they're having over there in that school district is they're not used to dealing with the black students over there in Warren. They're having a problem dealing with the children who come from an urban area. And so they're lacking the support that they need that they would normally get in the city. And if we could just get the parents to understand that when you walk away, you're not just walking away from the school district, you're walking away from your own kids. And if we could just get them to look at that from that standpoint. You walk away from a public school district that you were probably raised in, 9 times out of 10, if you're not paying for your kids to go to a private school and you send them to a suburban public school, and you have teachers who are not used to dealing with the children that we work with every day, or people who are not, basically, and I'm going to go ahead, who are not used to dealing with black children, they're going to have a hard time educating that child. Because they don't understand where that child came from. They don't understand it. They don't know how to give those kids what they need.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're at the
bottom of the hour.
We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, Chan. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All this time, I couldn't shake your memory. And I never knew the sweetest love was a first. So what am I supposed to do about this curse? Oh, baby, I've got you to blame. And I'm
I'm not going to sit and say a white teacher can't teach black kids, or black kids can't teach a white child. I'm not going to say that because, you know, I was coming up, I did the public school system. I probably had four, maybe five in grammar school. Let me see, Let me have high school. Yeah, black teacher. Had a few.
No, don't misunderstand. That's not what I was saying.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that there's not a problem. First of all, I'm saying it's not a problem. Because I'm quite sure you also had Europeans teaching you also. It means like that in the system. Right now, here in Chicago, the percentage of African American teachers are about 9 to 11%. I go 6 to 9% black teachers. Now, out of the 6 to 9% of black teachers, only 1% of those are male. Now, the funny part about that, you get all these African Americans here in upward with their schools getting closed and they're trying to save these schools. Yeah, a lot of people realize, no, you're saving schools for the these white middle class women who are not educating your children or have their best interests at hand. See, it's funny when you get caught in a double-edged sword. You're getting caught to ticket and save the schools and make sure the teachers and everybody get their fair share. And then you realize all I'm doing is saving this person's job. Don't have a care about my child. And then in the end, the productivity of that is like, what am I getting? And it's like, what you gonna do? It's like a double. It's just hard, Chance. It's so many problems, so many issues. I can just throw shit out there all day long. So go ahead. I don't want to hold a mic.
Did you say it was somebody else on the line from Detroit?
No, I got somebody else. Somebody was in the studio. He worked in another school, Ariel, and he was saying the same situation that happened there and with this school by them bringing up teachers in on the same program that you said they're bringing in Detroit. And at that time, the school was one of the high-performing schools. Now, they fight to stay alive. You know, he might have a job next year. Who knows? Not saying that. But, you know, they cutting schools left and right. They just fired 3,000 teachers.
Unbelievable.
3,000 teachers.
Unbelievable.
3,000 teachers. You know.
Go ahead, Chicago. What's going on with the union in Chicago now? How are they dealing with that?
Well, it's funny you said that now because I need my girl Tara stamps on you. I don't need to ask Tara stamps a question. No, that's not. Let's say not. She told her earlier. Because I heard the union rep is about to sit down and have a little meeting with Barbara Bird Bennett. Now they've been at odds all day, but now, I mean, they got this. The teachers did get their contract. You know, they did get some type of deal when they went on strike, what have you. But now I guess that deal offsets with them losing their jobs and getting a lot of school closing. And so now I'm seeing the union really just going ahead and trying to get along now with the administration, I guess, to save other teachers' jobs. Because they like, man, fuck you, fire you. Get rid of them. They don't care no more now. But now the union got to do what it got to do. It probably got to tone it down because you got to save people's jobs. I don't know that for sure, but I heard, I want to say it disturbed me, but I didn't hear the whole message. But I heard how she's saying that she had no problem with Barbara Bird Bennett. She called her when she first got there. They can work together. I was hearing some type of a sound that I didn't understand, seeing how kids are. Let me tell you something. Now, here's the storyline. We say you have kids cross gang lines to go to other schools, and that's not fair. It's not fair. Now we got a gang problem. Now we need to kind of, I mean, we got a gang problem in the city, but kids can't go one way. Now, yeah, that's how it is, but it should be like that. Now you got, oh, man. That's the same thing happened here.
School, one side of town closed. You're forcing these kids to go to a rivalry school, and they're in the same building. They're shooting each other, killing each other. It's a system designed to fail.
Right.
Why?
And see, this is what I'm saying, but hear this, Chan. People recognize that it's a system designed to fail, right? People recognize that.
But no one wants to change the system or try to start a new system. Again, you know I got a lot of people here that's in this building right now that are union and teachers and stuff like that. But if we were to get our tax dollars, open up our own schools, because right now, we tell everybody, right now, with this voucher system that the Democrats are saying they don't enjoy, right now, if we had our voucher system, CSU can start having schools in different areas, I mean, from grammar to high, they can get...
And I know that's right.
I mean, we can be able to take voucher money, open up school buildings in Detroit, open schools in Chicago, Indianapolis, anywhere, Ohio, have a charter feeder system and go to state from grammar school to high school because, you know, we got voucher system and we're paying for it. You think we can have a school that's strictly on math and science, school that's strictly on music and arts, a school that's strictly on general information, a school that's strictly on civics, from grammar on up. I mean, we can have opportunities to do that. But, Jen, I'm feeling that, like right now, a lot of people are angry because, you know, we're not getting what was promised to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of people, like a lot of my teacher's friends, upset now because what was promised, why they went into the position, why they went into the field themselves. And when they looked at the situation, it's like, nobody goes in a teacher to get rich. There's not a time we say, I'm about to go get paid. I'm about to go be a teacher. No one goes to get paid. You know, it's a position that you want to do because you want to change someone's life. You know, that said, then you can take that same energy, open your own. I call it the Marvel Collins experiment. The Marvel Collins got fed up because they wanted to see students out West Africa preparatory school for books out of a garbage can. Open school, and it's famous private school now. Still open? Yes, still open. Very famous private school. That was like a separate. He said, why Johnny couldn't read? Johnny can't read. Johnny to read. And it's like a same arguments we're having now, I was having when I was in kindergarten. Now I got kids in college and a daughter at the grammar school, and I'm arguing the same argument. It's as if it's on deaf ears, no one cares, and I feel the only this weekend, the only way they might care is we take our own money out of the system and start educating ourselves, and that will force them do everything that they said they were going to do because they're losing their money. The money we take from them to start our own is the money that they will lose. And that's the case here, then they will have to speak against what we offer. And they want to shut our stuff down because some parent is giving that money to their child because they really had a kid go to that school. I mean, that's the only way I feel that. Now, my white audience out there, just know that the African American gets self reliant to do for themselves. We need to educate our own self. Once we depend on the Department of Education to educate us, all our child that gets left behind, when no child is supposed to get left behind, all our children will get left behind. You know, because they won't fund the program. They throw it out there, but won't fund the program. Then what happens? Fourth grade kids that fail, now they feel dumb because they got to go to summer school. Now they're old in eighth grade because they got left behind because there's no summer school for fourth grade. Now he's going to drop out because he's caught behind. He's all messed up mentally. What the hell?
Right.
It's a system. It's a trap. You know?
You know, I read an article a couple weeks ago that the emergency manager, you know, you remember when you had Coleman Young Jr. on the radio station and he said that he was going to look into some of the things that were going on with the emergency manager and the school system here and different things that were going on in the city. I don't know if you recall that conversation, but it was an article.
I do
want to
get you
old.
Give him a hot
seat.
I'm sorry.
But a couple of weeks ago, the article said that Roy Roberts said that he was sent here by Governor Snyder to destroy Detroit public schools, and it was quoted from one of the can't think of her name, Pratt. She writes for the Detroit News and Free Press, and she quoted him in an article where he said he was sent here to do just that. And I don't understand how after his contract was over, he was given an extended contract to stay until the end of June, and today I heard that he's supposed to be gone now, and Karen Ridgeway is supposed to be over the school district running everything again. But does that change where we are and where we're going to be next year? What is that going to do if all of his people are still in place?
Chandra, I hate to say this, but beat the dead horse with the stick. Takes about 12 to 24 dedicated teachers to say, we're going to go out here on a limb. We're going to go out here on a limb and open our doors up and see who's going to come in. And then once someone starts a plan, others will pop. Then it will be emulated. And once they have to take those dollars out and give those dollars to the school system. Because once you threaten them by taking their money out, then they will have no choice but to either compete or go away. Because your tax dollars should not be funding private institutions. You know, and Hispanics, I have nothing against Hispanics. Shout out to Angel Garcia, my man, I put him today. I ain't got nothing against Hispanics. But they're getting everything that was promised to me. Now, I'm not sitting here saying where mine, it's unfair. But I am going to say where mine, it's unfair. Let me give you an example, Chairman, the 12 minutes I got left here. Now, dig this. Now, you know, the Tillman family here, we was reparations in Chicago. We trying to get the 40 acres and the mule, you know. I was saying it earlier about, you know, how the Democratic Party stopped it after Lincoln. Who was the president after Lincoln? Jackson. Was it Jackson? Andrew Jackson. As he came in, he shut the 40-acre mule down, get rid of Freeman's Bureau. You know, Grant tried to put something in, but I ain't trying to teach history, but the bottom line I'm saying is this. Here we got a bill, H.R. 40. It's in Congress right now. Now, at that time, your homeboy, John Conyers, was sitting on the Judiciary Committee when the Democrats had the lead. He said to us that he was going to push a Democratic bill. When Obama get in the office, Nancy Pelosi told him, hold the bill back, we can't get it back. Now, here we are with all of the Hispanics get all the promises that was given to African Americans under the Democratic Party. I pose the question, how come the Black Democratic Caucus are not pushing reparations? Then somebody hit me like across the head with a bat, like, bam. Nigga, don't you know Democrats had to came out and put out reparations in there to apologize for slavery, and the Democrats don't want to apologize for slavery. That's why reparations are not going to go nowhere, because if they come out and say we're going to get reparations, then they have to come and say we're the party that enslaved everybody. We're the party of Bull Connor. We're the party that took the dogs on you. We're the party that didn't want you to vote. We're the party that put the Democratic Unity Council. That history the Democratic Party won't put out there, but they are hoping that the blacks are so brainwashed, Chan, that we ain't going to mess with no Republican stand, that we so gone, that we going to stay with this okey-doke, the system that is killing our children. Matter of fact, you got Hispanics building their own schools, separate from us. And they're getting it separate but equal. So you understand, they're getting separate but equal. That was our argument. That was our fight. And we're sitting there fighting over pennies. They're getting dollars. You know, they're getting dollars because they are trying to put something for themselves. We want to just work, Chan. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you got to step out there on the limb and say, F it. I'm going to try something different. And I did that. That's why I'm going to leave public. And I said, fuck it, Chan. I'm going to step out here on the limb because I'm not playing this game. I can see what's going on. I can no longer make no excuses for this cat that's doing me wrong, because the more excuses I make, the more foolish I be, and I should even be arguing, because I'm making excuses for the people that's killing me, that's hurting me. I'm letting them slide. I'm letting them ride. But listen, Chan,
What I'm going to need you to do is, I'm going to need you to get some of that more information on the Detroit system and this emergency manager. If I can get a little report on that, basically see what's going on, because I want to see the step that they're doing in Detroit and watch and see how it's been mimicked in Chicago. Like I said, if they sell Bel Air out, they're going to sell Washington Park. They're going to lease Washington Park, too. You know, they're going to, if you get away, they'll do that. You know, they'll do it. They're looking at all the places where African Americans congregate and leasing those spots where you can't go there no more. What are they saying? You know, what are they saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, I'm just saying.
I know I was completely, completely offended when they asked us to leave at 10 o'clock the other night. I'm thinking, I've been coming here since I was a little girl. And all of a sudden, and they were little boys telling us, you know, they had their bikes and their helmets and their flashlights and whistles and told us that, you know, this is private property now. And my brother asked, you know, since when? It wasn't on any ballot. You know, who does the property belong to? Who voted for this? So they told us that if we weren't gone when they came back, that they were going to call the police. So, you know, my husband is a police officer, so he asked, well, and what is the police going to do? Because we can't write tickets and stuff like that. This is not something that's known in Michigan. So I believe what they're doing is they're pushing this conservatory thing down there to see who they can scare away with it. But we have some old heads down there that said they weren't going anywhere. They can't put them in jail for staying down there. You have older people old enough to be my grandfather down there fishing. And it seems like they're the only ones. They're too old to fight the fight, but our generation just doesn't have the fight.
No, man, because they all off on them mollies, listening to Lil Wayne. No, I'm not gonna say that. But it was a guy looking outside of my house today, looking like Lil Wayne. I couldn't believe it. Tattoo on his face and everything. Tattoo on his face and everything. But look, we're gonna get ready to wrap it up, Chan, and we're gonna do this again because we have to keep talking about this education piece. We have to keep it on the forefront because we have to look at what's happening in all these urban cities. It's not isolated. And just like you said, the woman that was there is here now. And she was in New Jersey before that. So,
was she in Cleveland, too? Monica was here. Monica said she was in Cleveland, too.
She was in Cleveland. So, you know, everywhere she go, you know, she's bringing down the system. So we just have to keep looking and keep the network going. Let us know what's going on in Detroit. We'll let you know what's going on in Chicago.
And we rolling like that. So check it out, Chan. We about to wrap this up. Why don't you go on and give some shout outs to your people? You know, I'm about to go to Indianapolis Saturday to bury one of my homies. I don't know if we get a chance to meet my cat, Keith Terrell. We call him Foodie, but I'll call Foodie.
He passed away,
so we about to send him on to the next level of the game. But why don't you go and give your shout outs before I let you go? On this Juneteenth Freedom Day, the day that Texas.
Okay, and I personally like to thank and give a strong shout out to my friend Ebony, who was Johnny on the spot when I called and left a message that my mom passed. And your message was very strong, and it was delivered just as strong as it was written. And I love you. And a friend to the end from day one.
Okay. That's how it's supposed to be. Hey, Chan, it's all about giving roses to you while you're alive. So you always got to say that. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why I tell everybody I love, and that's why I love you too, Chan. Listen, don't be a stranger. Always tune in and call in and stuff like that, you know.
I sure will.
We do. Hold on. What's today? Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
So tomorrow's New Music Thursday tomorrow, everybody. So why don't y'all check it out? Well, if y'all watching the game, I can understand that, you know. But, you know, we'll see. We might run a bootleg show. The top 10 still will be on there. Let's go, Miami. We'll do it like that. All right, Chan. Listen, I'm glad you was on here. So I like to say I love you. I love your family. Make baby strong. Shout out to the Terrell family. I like to say everybody good night, and may your God be with you.
All right.
All right. Good night.
There comes a day in your life when you want to kick back. Straw hat on the porch when you old perhaps. Want to gather your thoughts, have a cold one, brag to your grandkids on how life is golden. So I'ma light a cigar in the corridor of the crib. Pictures on the wall of all the things that I did. All the money and fame, 8x10s of the whole rat pack inside of a big frame. Colliding with big names that could have made your career stop. All that, and your man is still here and I'm still hot. Wow, I need a moment, y'all. See, I almost saw the teardrop. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my theme to stay. This would taught me gold.
Steady spinning on they back. Can't forget when the first rap Grammy went to Jazzy. Fresh Prince, Fat Boys broke up. Rap hasn't been the same since. So irregular, how it messed you up when Mr. T became a wrestler. Can't forget about Jordan's retirement. The shot Robert Horry hit to win the game in the finals, kid. Some things are forever, some things are not. It's the things we remember that gave the world shock. They stay in a place in your mind so snug. Like who the person was with whom you first made love. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my theme to stay. This hood taught me gold.
Unsubmittable, I go by N now, just one syllable. It's the end cause the game's tied, it's the same vibe. Good times had right after James died. That's why the gangster rhymers ain't inspired. Heinous crimes help record sales more than creative lines. And I don't wanna keep bringing up the greater times, but I'm a dreamer, nostalgic with the state of mind. The past, the past, enough of it I think. Enough, it gives me chills like Douglas and Tyson. A mic when his talk was live, or when he first did the moonwalk on Motown 25. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This hood taught me golden ways. Made me,
truly this is what made me.
Break me,
not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This hood taught me golden ways. Made me,
truly this is what made me.
Break me,
not a thing's gonna break me.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.